The Redeemer of man, Jesus Christ, is the center of the universe and of history. These are the opening words of Pope St. John Paul II's first encyclical letter, Redemptor Hominus, the Redeemer of man, in 1979. This bold proclamation from the outset of his pontificate orients our hearts and minds to the mystery of the incarnation, of God becoming man in the person of Jesus Christ, who in our gospel today is an infant lying in a manger. Jesus is truly God with us. He is the one word, the Logos, that the Father wished to speak to us from all eternity. Today, we celebrate in these final days of the Christmas season the great feast of the Epiphany of the Lord. The word epiphany means appearance or manifestation. This feast is essentially commemorating when the Lord appeared or manifested himself to the Gentiles through the Magi. The Magi represent the fulfillment of God's plan to bring salvation to the world. As we know, his plan of salvation begins with the Israelites and the covenants he established with them over centuries and millennia. Throughout this history, however, God promises would go beyond Israel alone and would eventually extend to all nations, as we'd hear in today's responsorial psalm, "Lord, every nation on earth will adore you." The Catechism of the Catholic Church sums up beautifully what we see taking place in the coming of the Magi. It says, "The coming of God's Son to earth is an event of such immensity that God willed to prepare for it over centuries. He makes everything converge on Christ. All the rituals and sacrifices, figures and symbols of the first covenant. He announces him through the mouths of the prophets who succeeded one another in Israel. Moreover, he awakens in the hearts of the pagans a dim expectation of his coming." God awakens in our hearts a dim expectation, a longing and a desire to know and to see God. To know God is the origin and end of all things and is the desire of the human heart. In our first reading, the prophet Isaiah is so rich with imagery and symbolism that points to the coming Messiah, who is the light of the world. It says, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you." What is unique about our faith is that God has revealed himself. He has made himself known. This is divine revelation. It is not something that we constructed or made up ourselves. God shines the light of his presence upon us. He began with Israel, with the intention to draw all nations to himself so that we too, the Gentiles, would worship the one true God. There is only one God. All other gods are false. Here in the book of Isaiah, we hear that nations will walk by your light and kings by your shining radiance. The Magi are kings. A time will come when the epiphany of God will go beyond Israel to other nations and lands who will come from afar to follow the one true God in Christ Jesus. With eyes of faith, we see the connection of the prophecy uttered by Isaiah and brought to fulfillment in the Magi's journey to Bethlehem. This reading is explicit, down to the very gifts that will be bestowed upon him. "The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans and camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah and all Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in the infant Jesus lying in the manger, born in the city of David in Bethlehem. In our second reading from the Ephesians, St. Paul affirms that God wills to bring salvation to all men, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, co-partners of the promise of Christ. Here we focus on one of the four marks of the church. The church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. She is one because her founder is one. One God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She is holy because God is holy. And the church is Catholic because she is meant for all people at all times. Lastly, she's apostolic because she is founded on the foundation of the apostles themselves. It is her Catholicity, the third mark of the church, that we are focusing on here. The church was first called Catholic by St. Ignatius of Antioch in the first century. Catholic means universal, meant for all people. The Gentiles are included in God's plan because God has a universal salvific will. As St. Paul says elsewhere, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. St. Paul is proclaiming the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation to the ends of the earth and to all nations. This mystery, as he proclaims, was made known to him by revelation to the apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles are meant to be included in God's plan of redemption. Herein lies the hope of the world. It is also our hope. God has come to save us, to pour his life into us, to reunite us to himself. This is good news. Sin and death are not the end of our story. We were made for something more. And the coming of Christ is the hope of mankind. He alone can transform our lives, fulfill the longings of our heart, restore our brokenness, and forgive our sins. Jesus is the answer to our fallen world, shattered and divided by sin. This brings us to today's gospel, to the witness of the Magi from the east that have journeyed to Jerusalem, following the signs in the heavens in search of the newborn King of the Jews. The Magi are an astonishing representation of a number of important realities worth considering. We know they are not of the Jewish faith. They come from afar. They are a sign of the Gentiles coming to faith. They, in a sense, represent the tiresome end of paganism of the ancient world, whose gods are myths and false. The Magi, rather, are drawn to the light of Christ, the star that shines in the darkness that leads to Jesus, who is the only way, the only truth, in the only life. As men who studies the stars, astronomy, and science, the Magi represents both faith and reason. We refer to them as wise because they are not closed in by their intellect and learning, but are humble enough to recognize and pursue truth, to integrate faith and reason in their lives. The Magi are moved by wonder and a desire for truth, which leads them to the infant Jesus lying in the manger, in whom all things converge. Everything converges upon Christ. Faith and reason come together. Properly integrated, this is what makes them wise. In other words, you can be both intelligent and a person of deep faith. You can be both a person who is well-learned and a person of deep faith at the same time. These two realities are not opposed. Herod, on the other hand, is a representation of the kingdoms of this world that seek only after amassing power, that are steeped in pride, malice, and ill intent. This is evident in his being greatly troubled by the news of the newborn King of the Jews. He is worried about losing power in his place as a king. His desire, as we know, is not to do Jesus homage, but to destroy Jesus, to harm him. As for the gifts that the Magi bring, they are rather unique in what they represent. They are gifts befitting a king, represented first by the gold that he receives. The frankincense is a recognition of the divinity of Jesus, and the myrrh points toward the purpose of this child, to die for the atonement of the sins of the world. The myrrh already foreshadows the bitterness of the cross, which cannot be separated for the purpose of Jesus' birth and life, even here in the manger. The Magi, upon seeing Jesus, have a moment of great joy. They prostrated themselves, a sign of the recognition of Jesus as divine, and they did him homage. Pope Benedict described the joy of the Magi experienced as follows. It is the joy of one whose heart has received a ray of God's light and who can now see that this hope has been realized. The joy of one who has found what he has sought and has himself been found. What drew the Magi to follow the star that led to Jesus? Why do they risk so much in traversing so far to see something so simple as the newborn King of the Jews? This was not their faith tradition, but nonetheless they were drawn to Jesus, as eventually the whole world will be. They are a sign to us that we are meant for Christ. May we have the wisdom of the Magi to recognize the light of Christ, to follow him in our life by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us so that we too might continue to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. The world offers its own counterfeit version of happiness, the fulfillment in the things that are passing away. We, however, know that these are utterly unsatisfying and cannot save us. But in Christ there is life, and that life was the light of men. Do we realize that what the Magi journeyed to see in the infant Jesus, we have here in our tabernacle? Jesus offers us himself in the most holy Eucharist. As we come forth to receive him today, may we do so with the same faith, the same reverence, the same awe and wonder of the Magi, knowing that in receiving him, we have all that we need. I leave you with the words of St. Leo the Great. The child, the Lord Jesus Christ, word in our flesh, wisdom in infancy, power in weakness, and in true man, the Lord of majesty.